It's another edition of Turned On with Sue and John. She is sex therapist and talk show host Sue McGarvey. I'm radio guy John Milky the Milkman, notoriously naughty, which is probably why I got roped into this.
And I like you. And aww, it's fun. And you've got great pipes. And you have the RV of love, which we're not in right now because it's sick. But next week or the week after, we'll be back in the RV of love.
All right, so coming up on the show today, we got a lot to get to. Sexual preferences based on countries. That'll be interesting. What really happens at sex parties? I think I know. Sex? You got a listener question. Someone had a difficult time getting it up. They were a little freaked out. We're going to address that. Sex during pregnancy, weird sex stories and strange facts, and two brand new studies coming out of one of our local universities where Sue and I happen to be based in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. That's a lot on the docket today. Let's get to it. It's Turned On with Sue and John. All right, Sue, first up, we want to talk sexual preferences based on countries.
Sex around the world. There was a study done recently, of course, because I get all these studies come into my inbox every week. And they talked about the different ways people are looking for sex in different countries. So it comes up, and some of them are typical, and some of them are not what you think, right? Are the Japanese only going to be looking for octopus porn? I don't know. They didn't cover Japan. But in terms of the study, France is most popular for its romantic vibe, its beautiful sights. People like to do it in different spots. And it turns out in France, only the guys seem to be interested in vanilla sex. French women are more tempted at being watched by a stranger while having sex. And oral sex is the country's most popular turn on for both genders. For a reason. Yeah. The Germans, go figure. They like fetishes, tattoos, and piercings. What is this? And
just for the record, Milky or Milka is a German name.
Okay, there you go.
Put that out there.
That's good because that's what they like. They really do like. They're also like sapiosexuality, where someone is attracted to intelligence. It's also what the Dutch like. They want smart people to bang. You know, that's important. They want us to talk about, you know, the plague, you know, different kinds of theorems while you're having sex, the theory of relativity, Pythagorean, you know, all of that.
Tie me up and show me your degree. That's sex in Germany. Okay.
And if you have a tattoo, so much the better. All right. In the Greeks, apparently like the dirty talk. I was not going to say the Greek yet, but they like to talk dirty. The Spaniards are more romantic. The Dutch can't resist wearing a nice scented perfume that smells either of sex or food. Just so you know, sex or food. And the UK are all into the vanilla. You know, they're the lie back and think of England. Let's give it up for good old missionary. Yay. So the UK is the most boring of the ones that we talked about in Europe. So it was a European study, obviously. They didn't talk about Canadians, Americans. They did, but they did say, oh, and the Italians. Oh, I forgot about the Italians. Italians love biting their partners, which is appealing for a turn on. They like to nibble, right? So watch you don't get a piece, you know, chunked out of you if you're, you know, boffing an Italian.
Well, if you've got Italian friends, you know it's all about the food and sinking your teeth into something yum. So that just makes sense. Par for the course, right? Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google, Blast the Radio, iHeart has us. Turned On the podcast. All right, Sue. What really happens at sex parties? Tell us.
Well, what really happens on sex parties, they did a survey they talked to younger women about, you know, their experiences, you know, sort of women under 35. And they said it was absolutely diverse, as you can possibly imagine. Some parties had no nudity, no penetrative play. Some had really big kink setups, you know, medical fetishes. They had, you know, crosses and, you know, my favorite, the Sawzall with the dildo on the end or the Sibian, sort of lots of those are both the sex machines that you can use. But it's a range of possibilities. It's as diverse as people are. There's a lot more these days, more queer, more BDSM spaces. But the idea is that everything is different. So their rules are trust the source, be able to talk about, you know, who's inviting you and what's to expect. Because I remember going to one, you know, in a small town in Eastern Ontario and expecting it to be quite tame. And it was, you're expected to drop your clothes at the door. It is, it was, you know, like the old spin the bottle. I remember going to spin the bottle game when I wasn't, you know, and they're like, if you're not ready to kiss us and participate, you should leave.
Interesting, because I went to what was, I thought, going to be a crazy wild sex party in Las Vegas.
Yeah, really.
It was the tamest, lamest thing I've ever been to in my life. Sorry, Vegas.
Really? They talk about safety first, communication, and that a lot of people just want to be seen. The exhibitionist is going. And what seems to be the trend these days, you know, besides more consent, is more chatting. Don't be afraid to say no and set boundaries, but more communication and more sort of let's visit before we jump into bed with each other. Cages, benches, penetrative machines, taking off the clothes, locker. Oh, they had one called a milk-soaked kitten theme. I thought, okay, that would be. I have never heard that theme before, but that would be a little bit, you know, edgy.
I got a pretty good visual on what that is, yeah.
Yep, and so that depends on some of them. You are at the bottom of the orgy pile. I was at one on the Quebec side. And just sitting talking with friends because I wanted to have a tour. And it was always the best place you could dance because, you know, I know the one in Ottawa has a Monday night one. And you can just dance on a Monday night for an inexpensive and it's not, you know, you're not going out to where there's a whole bunch of people under 25. Let's just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. So what happened, it was you're sitting talking and they would come out and say, would you like to join us? And when they were quite offended if you didn't, I'm talking to my girlfriend. No, I'm going to dance. Thanks anyway. And they're just like quite miffed that you're sitting here. You should be willing to participate. So everyone has a different theme. Figure it out and talk to the people that run it.
And I like what you said, too. Ask a lot of questions. And it's okay to ask questions before you go and accept the invitation. It's Turned On with Sue and John. Sue McGarvey, John Milkey, the Milkman. TurnedOnPodcast.com is where you'll find us on the web. It's Turned On with Sue and John. Sue McGarvey and the Milkman, John Milkey, TurnedOnPodcast.com. The podcast available everywhere, really. Apple, Spotify. Oh, Spotify, we should mention, is a great place for you to interact with us. You can leave us voicemails, comments on the show, let us know some of the things you're not hearing that you want to be hearing. Ask your questions there, and we'll pass them on to Sue. Speaking of, it is time now for this week's listener question. Someone who couldn't get it up, Sue, and they're quite concerned about it. What should they do is their question.
It was holy shit, Sue. I couldn't get it up last week and I was mortified. WTF, how do I fix this? Was the question.
All right.
And you know, and I wrote back and said, so how old are you? And they said 42. Which is when stuff starts at, I don't think that's old at all, but it's
no,
when
it's
stuff starts to not be as Johnny on the spot. Now, I have had 7-year-old guys who've never had a problem, but I've also had guys at 42 who are stressed and who all of a sudden start to realize it's not quite what it used to be. And I asked him, are you on boner pills? No. Why would I be on those? I'm like, because everybody and their brother. And if I was a guy over 30, I'd have them in my medicine cabinet. And my dad's headed to Thailand and I've asked him to buy me a big box of Camagra to come back. Because, yeah, it's sweetened. It's jelly. It's all good. Yeah, they're great. My dad's 83. I'm like, Dad, they're not going to check your stuff. So
my dad is 86. And I can promise you this. You and I have very different conversations with our parents, Sue.
Yes, we do. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Let's leave it at that. So, I think you have the, you know, you've got the Camagra and be able to add it. And it's just a little bit on your mouth. And all of a sudden, every day, and you do not have any issues. You have 100 milligrams of that, of Cialis. Now, they will only give you 50 at a time, but you should be pounding nails with that thing. If that doesn't work, It will. You give enough of it, you're going to overpower even if you're stressed. Because, you know, fear and anxiety is a bucket of cold water on erections. I've talked about this and you need to figure out how to do this because the chemicals that put you back from an erection start flooding your system if you're anxious. The more you have sex with somebody, the less likely you are going to have an erection issue. But you can also get a pump. And I don't get the crappy ones at the sex shop. Order one online. There's Osbonds, and they range from between two, a good quality medical pump is between $200 and $400. You're going to spend that on Viagra in 3 months and increase the blood flow, because all it is hydraulics. So if it was me, I'd get a good quality pump. I'd get a cock ring that holds it all. Get one of the badass leather ones and go on a little bit grind up a little bit of Viagra. I had one guy who looked like a little mouse had been at it, little tiny nibbles of it. And you will be a rock star. And if that doesn't work, come see me. And if that doesn't work, let's get you to a doctor and get you an ultrasound and find out what the blood flow is actually doing. Because they can give you an injection, watch the blood flow, and see where things are stalled.
So we've talked about Viagra, Cialis, those enhancers before. And I know you're big on them, pardon the pun. But where does this hesitation come from men? You know, the apprehension about this. Is it pure ego?
Sometimes I think it's also women go, oh my God, you shouldn't need Viagra to be with me. Then you don't love me. And it's never about that. It's never that they don't find you attractive. It has to do with their blood flow. So I think it's normal. A lot of guys hide it. I think they're expensive and they're coming down in price, and there's a lot of generic ones. However, they can be quite expensive if you don't have medical benefits. And I think that people want to just be seen as virile, and it's an admission that you're actually growing old and it's not the same as it used to. But I need lube. It's not the same as it used to. So I don't think there's any shame in that.
I like that comparison. I need lube. I need Viagra, yeah. Cialis, etc. Don't be embarrassed by it. Hey, thanks for the question. Sue@sexwithsue.com is how you can get your question. We are Turned On with Sue and John. Hey, Sue, before we go too much further, you just brought up an interesting thing off the air here. We put it out there a few weeks ago that we'd love to have some jingles for the show. Just, you know, people singing, it's Turned On with Sue and John, whatever you can come up with. And we heard from a number of people who were like, oh, this is intriguing, but we never got any submissions. It is time for you listeners to submit to us. Wait, what? That didn't sound right.
No, it does. It sounds great. And I have some Zumios left. I will happily donate to the cause. Anybody finds us jingles and Zumios, I've got some new toys. I'm going through my toy box of unopened things. I certainly could find you a nice little care package if you get us a jingle. If you're a singer and you want to be, you know, you want to be immortalized, this is your chance.
There you go. We will promote the heck out of you on the show. Do not make us have to employ artificial intelligence. We like the human factor here on Turned On with Sue and John. Sue McGarvey and me, John Milky the Milkman. All right, Sue, sex during pregnancy. This should be a fascinating conversation.
It is. Sex during pregnancy. Somebody says, my husband's starting to see me like a metamorphosizing caterpillar who wants to have sex with a caterpillar, except that, you know, during sex, you know, as soon as you are ovulating, you're hornier. And if you can get through the first trimester of feeling like you want to die, because it's more work than climbing Everest when you're building brains, and that's what you're doing in the first trimester, and you're, at least I was throwing up all the time. However, what it does is it increases blood flow. And there have been times from sort of the third month to the ninth month that I have never been hornier. And I have some chops in that department. But oh my God, I was like, get over here, get rid of the tension in my body. Get over here. I'm like, and they're just like, oh my God, this crazy pregnant girl. It was nuts how horny you can get. It, you know, some people don't feel sexy at all, but a lot of times your nipples get bigger and darker and flusher, and you always have great skin because you've got increased blood flow. If you were always this horny, if women who were pregnant were always this horny, it would change the world. It really would. I didn't want to wear clothes. I was less like this naked pregnant person. You know, it was, felt like I was the size of a barn, but it doesn't matter. It, you know, the idea that sex brings on labor, you know, swallowing helps you conceive, that we talked about that last week with the benefits of oral sex.
Yeah, that was fascinating. If you didn't hear last week's show, go back and listen to that segment. Absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, that if you're giving oral sex and it will actually help get you to conceive a child, but it will also help you bring on labor. It's full of prostaglandins. And then after the baby's born, you bleed for 12 weeks and then your libido drops like a tank because your oxytocin level, the cuddle hormone, is like, you know, just coming out in truckloads. It doesn't always stay that way, but you've got a year of, you know, this is a low period sexually. So get it on now while you're knocked up, because it's it will really enhance things. You don't have to worry about birth control because, you know, that horse has already left the barn.
True.
Yeah. And girls, that you can't get out of a second pregnancy. It doesn't work like that.
No. Once you're pregnant, you're pregnant, and ain't nothing else going on until, like you said, a year or so later. How can the partner help? So the non-pregnant partner, how can they help get the other partner in the mood? Because I'm sure if you're a pregnant woman, you are feeling very self-conscious, like you said. You're feeling big. You're feeling not sexy, except for the fact that you really are. And is it as simple as that for the other person in the equation to just remind them how sexy they are? Is that what's going to move things
along? And not to treat them like, you know, there's a lot of guys who are worried they're going to, you know, they're going to have sex and it's going to hit the baby on the head, which is impossible because it only goes into the vaginal canal. And then there's a little tiny, you know, and then there's something where the menstrual flow comes down. It's oh, tiny, 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 can't get up there. And then it has quite about 2 inches of cervix. And then there's an embryo sac, an amniotic sac where the baby is in. Like, you're talking about, you know, 6 inches and 5 different obstacles. So you're not going to butt the baby. If the woman has an orgasm, it's mild contractions and it doesn't affect anything. In fact, I think it could be pleasurable to a small child. So either way, realize it's not going to hurt them. If they're having a normal pregnancy, it doesn't matter. Lots of orgasms, lots of clitoral stimulation. And if she wants it 3 times a day, do not be surprised. If she doesn't want it at all because she's throwing up like I did, I was great. I wasn't interested in the morning and I was, but by nighttime I was starving and horny every night. Like every night, that's, you got to solve the problem right now.
All right, Sue, next up, weird sex stories and strange sex facts. I love this because I just sit back and enjoy the moment while you go through these.
Yeah, there's some new stuff, boy, you know, and there's some really weird ass things, you know, people having a sexual relationship with their car, you know, patting the exhaust pipe. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
I had a story from one of the doms in town. She was a well-known dominatrix. And I asked her what was the weirdest thing she ever said. She said, man, I had somebody who wanted to be dressed up like a pig. And he wanted to feel, his fantasy was to be, felt like he was a pig and being cut up and, ooh, you know, eaten.
That's different.
And so she got him in little pig ears and little pig tail and had him squealing. And she got like plastic knife and fork and pretended to cut him up. Yum, 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 yum. And he just apparently had an orgasm like without her even touching him. Like, that was her. That was his thing. Everybody has something, right?
Yep.
They had one, a lot of story about the people with stuffies. If you are excited by, you know, stuffed animals and they're your fetish, it can sometimes be daunting to a new partner that they're going to have sex with you and all of your stuffies, your friends are watching, or they need stuffed animals, or they need to be in a furry costume, or all of that particular things in order to get there, right? They had one story about a woman who was, the guy was getting a blowjob and his eyes were closed and he reached out his hand and he felt this cord and he pulled and she yelped. Turns out she had her earbuds in and was watching a blowjob tutorial on YouTube while she was giving him a head. I know, right?
Well, I mean,
boning up on the course, right? Yep, 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 yep.
Boning up. I heard that.
There was a story of a guy brought home a woman and they had sex and he rolled over the next morning. She was gone and there was $200 on his nightstand.
Hot.
I know. I tell you, most guys, that's their fantasy, right?
Ain't nobody ever offering me money. They're asking for, you know, money back, perhaps. But
yeah. One guy said he had a Halloween costume with a woman in a Slenderman morph suit. And I was at a lifestyle event that was a glow neon night. People were body painting. And you're watching everybody have sex. And it was like black light and neon and everybody had these things. It was like a Tron movie. I will never forget it. It was like, whoa.
That's pretty cool.
Couldn't see all the details, but all the lighting and you knew what people were doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm such a visual person, as you know. Yeah. If you're a creative mind like Sue is and like I am, yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Mm. Yeah. And I had somebody who said that they had sex with a new woman, and she was like, you know, doing the this little piggy went to market. Obviously, we're having a Piggly Wiggly session today because they were just playing with them, or you know, round and round the garden on the like children's rhymes on his penis. Like, I guess she was really uncomfortable, and she kept resorting to, yeah, you never know what you're gonna get. Right. You really don't know what you're going to get. And it's why sex is often better the sixth, seventh, eighth time you've done it. And you'd be able to do this. And the last thing is the number of people that I'm hearing about who for whom asexuality is a valid option. And it is. But this idea that they're asexual, don't want to do it, but still want to talk about it, still want to have some kind of sexuality. They just don't either. They're fearful of pregnancy or STIs, or they are fearful of their, you know, they've got body image issues and don't want to get naked with somebody. But it doesn't mean just because you're asexual. It could be that you have no interest at all, but it could also mean that you are wanting to talk about it, think about it, just don't want to do it.
It's Turned On with Sue and John. Conversations about sex and sexuality every single week, available as a podcast. Also, we should mention, available on air at CJRO-FM, which serves the communities of Vars and Russell, Carlsbad Springs, Metcalf, etc., the east end of Ottawa. Thank you for having us on CJRO. TurnedOnPodcast.com is our website. Speaking of Ottawa, there are two brand new studies that you want to bring our attention to, both from the University of Ottawa, Sue.
Yep. And so it's local, and we want to talk about it. One was one by Dr. Peggy Kleinplatz. I've had lunch with her a number of times. She's a really well-known sex therapist and expert in Ottawa. And she wrote a paper, which is now a book, about whether basically technique versus connection. And it's really about how to stay more connected and feel more that greater intimacy when you do that. So, you know, so it's not about technique, because there are people who have fantastic technique but leave you cold. And there are people who you have great connection with, but, you know, are you know, not really are trying to blow on your penis as opposed to suck on your penis, right? There's that piece where you don't have some technique and they're not hearing you, or they're not getting it, or they have this idea of what technique is. And honestly, if the sex is bad, we were saying, you know, about oral sex last week's show, that if you weren't going to do that, that it was one of the criterias for ending a relationship, that it was a deal breaker for a lot of people. So, but she's saying that if you can get the connection, then you can, that the technique will follow. I'm not entirely sure I agree with her, but I think it's a great balance. But the idea of really spending some time working on the intimacy levels in your relationship, you know, more eye gazing, more talking about what turns you on, and being able, once you get that safe of space, you're able to say, I really like it this way, or can we practice, or can we learn together? And
I think that makes sense. You know, it's intimacy, you can't coach. It either happens or it doesn't work. That's pure human-to-human chemistry. The other things, you can teach. You can walk somebody through that faster, slower, harder, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that makes sense even to my college-educated brain. And you said there was a second study, Sue, also from the University of Ottawa.
Stories about objectification. So basically, it was two women out of the University of Ottawa. And Michelle, she went ahead and studied people working in the sex field. She interviewed more than 100 of them. And it was, she said, what came out of it was people thought they were objectified. And it turns out they weren't. They didn't find it. They found a way to celebrate their own sexuality. They were able to carve a place out for themselves. And she said, when I looked at my own sexuality, I was busy, you know, making sure it was good for my husband. And she said, I'm this, you know, heterosexual with wife and, you know, with a husband and kids. And I'm realizing that the people in the sex industry were way more empowered than I felt I was. So she said, I did some real soul searching around how do you empower yourself as a woman to be more sexual. Where's your passion place? What turns you on? Okay. And when I ask women, they often don't know. And her advice was to find ways to celebrate your own sexuality, watch things from a female gaze as opposed to a male gaze, which is most of porn, get support, understand your autonomy in this, embrace your quirkies, define your boundaries, understand the pleasure and orgasm gap, and get out there, and it's okay. It doesn't make you, you know, not a feminist to be trying really kinky stuff. And it's okay to embrace pleasure, because a lot of these researchers were, I don't know why it's just sort of dawning on them that pleasure's okay. And when we did our interview a couple of weeks ago with Karina around Tantra, you know, her t-shirt read, pleasure is medicine. And I really believe that too. So pleasure is medicine. So go out and celebrate it, because all of a sudden these, you know, doctoral theses are going, huh, their sex workers are having pleasure throughout the process. Go figure. And they're empowered. Go figure. It's the people who are researching it that are shut down and conventional. So they went looking for objectification and didn't find it.
There you have it, the latest installment of Turned On with Sue and John. Sue McGarvey, sex therapist, and yours truly, the milkman, John Milkey. And if you have a question regarding sex and sexuality for Sue, how do they get in touch?
Sue@sexwithsue.com.
And a reminder, you can get Turned On with Sue and John on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Anchor, Blast the Radio, and more. Back next week with another edition of Turned On with Sue and John.